Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this day is the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 20, particularly the parable where the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." This is our text. My dear friends in Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. One of the great things about the Bible is that it doesn't just give us images of God from one point of view, but it gives us many, if not hundreds, of different images of God so that we can really, truly understand him and who he is and what he does in our lives. So when you think of God, what images first come to your mind? You know, maybe you think of him as your benevolent, loving father. Or maybe that image of God as the good shepherd watching over a sheep comes to mind when you think about God. Or maybe you just think of God as that almighty creator and provider who created the world and created us and continues to provide for everything that we need each and every day. You can look all through the Bible and you will see hundreds and hundreds of images of God, our Heavenly Father, through which we can praise and honor him each day. Well, there are times when the Bible gives us a little bit different view of God. And sometimes those views of God can be a little bit unexpected. Before you call my district president or synodical president, I ask that you hear me out, because there are those times when the Bible portrays God as being just a little bit foolish. Maybe even ridiculous, certainly not the brightest light in the room. Case in point, when you take a look at the gospel lesson from last week, remember that? Last week we took a look at the parable of the prodigal son. And in that parable, the father, who symbolizes God, acted foolishly in a couple of ways. First off, what father in his right mind is going to give his young son all the inheritance that he deserves before the father is even dead? I mean, it's just not a smart thing to do. I mean, first off, what father is going to have the liquid assets in order to be able to do that? Huh? No, I don't think so. Second off, by asking for the inheritance, that younger son was basically telling the father, "I wish you were dead." If that were my son doing that, there's no way I just hand over the inheritance. And so just right there, in that action, the father is portrayed as somebody who may not be the smartest guy in the room. And remember that that father symbolizes our omniscient and our all-knowing God. Secondly, the text tells us that while the son is still a long way off, the father sees him and runs to him and gives him a big old hug, all filled with compassion. Now to us, that looks like a pretty picture. It looks amazing. It might even bring a tear to our eye. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we see grown men running all the time. We turn on our football games on a Sunday afternoon and see men running up and down the football fields. Right now, we can't wait to turn on the TV and see men run around the baseball diamonds. We see grown men running marathons and triathlons maybe even with a little bit of envy. But you know, that's just not the way it was back in Jesus' day. You have to understand the context and the customs of the day back then. And the fact of the matter is, every single person listening to Jesus tell that parable would have understood that for that father to run to his son, he would have been totally making a fool of himself. You see, good, mature Hebrew men just did not run. It was undignified. It was humiliating. It was degrading. It was shameful. So yes, the Bible in our gospel lesson for last week did portray God as being a fool. Then there's our text for today. We see the owner of the vineyard going on an extended trip, and so he rents out the vineyard to tenants. You know, what's lost in us in this parable is the amount of time and the tender, loving care that goes into establishing a vineyard. This isn't like going to Milliger's and buying a couple of tomatoes and cucumbers, some peas and some lettuce, and putting in a nice little garden in your backyard. No, this is something completely different. A vineyard was a ton of work. I mean, the first thing is that you need to go out and you need to find some very good quality grape plantings, some grape cuttings, and plant them in just the right soil. And that soil needs to be continually cultivated. And those plants need to be continually cared for and carefully pruned. And it's only after having this vineyard and planting those plants for 3 or 4 years that you're finally going to get a crop of grapes that's suitable for making into wine. And then it's another 3 or 4 years for that wine to mature until it's produced into something that's drinkable. And so that owner has considerable investment with lots of tender, loving care put into that vineyard. And yet, even with that huge investment, even with all of that tender, loving care, that owner turns that vineyard over to tenants. So how does the owner look foolish or silly in our text for today? Well, there's a saying that says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And so it's understandable that with that huge investment in the vineyard, that he sends his servants to reap the benefits of that vineyard. But he does so not just once, not just twice, but 3 times before he sends his beloved son. And you know, I can understand the first time. You've got a big, huge investment in this vineyard. You need to reap the benefits of it. You need your share. But once you see how they treat that first servant, aren't you just a little bit reluctant before you send the second, and especially the third? And finally, once you see how shamefully they treat and beat and harm those 3 servants, are you really going to send your beloved son? So you see what I mean? In both of these cases, God the Father is portrayed in scriptures as being just a little bit foolish, silly, maybe not so bright, maybe not the best decision maker in the whole wide world. Well, it's one thing to point out, correctly or not, that in the Bible, in some cases, God is portrayed as being silly, foolish, or reckless. But pointing out such things doesn't really serve any purpose and may indeed prove to be sinful in breaking the eighth commandment if one is careful and doesn't answer the question of why. Why did the Bible portray the Father being so ridiculously running to his Son? And why did the Bible show this, us this picture of the vineyard owner putting servant after servant after servant and eventually his son in harm's way just to receive back a few little groups? Grapes, not groups, grapes. Well, in the first case, the father ran and made a laughingstock out of himself because of his love for the son. That son had been completely and totally lost, but now he's found. I believe the text even says something like, he was dead, and now he is found. Our text even tells us that he had compassion on him. The son realized his sin, and he was willing to come back as a slave. But you know what? The father wasn't going to have any of that. As soon as the father sees the son and runs to him and makes a fool out of himself, he gives him a big hug. And he calls for the slaves to bring the family ring and put it back on his son's finger. And then he brings out this huge big coat and puts it on his shoulders. He has shoes brought out and put out on his feet. And he has the fattened calf killed so that they can celebrate and rejoice that the son who was as good as dead to him had returned. The father acts like a fool because of his great love for a son who had been lost, but now who would come home. And then in our text for today, the reason the owner sent servant after servant after servant and even sends his own beloved son out to collect from those wicked tenants was to give those tenants every single chance, every single opportunity that he could for them to repent, to go along with the program. It wasn't because he was an idiot. It wasn't because he was being foolish, but it was because he wanted to give them every chance to repent. And yet, those silly tenants refused. You know, as we look at these texts and we take a very close look at them, we realize that we can put ourselves into each of those situations. We are the prodigal sons who sometimes turn away and run away from God. And we also have our times in our lives when we are those tenants who refuse to repent, who refuse to give in to God our Father. We are far from perfect. We are sinful, sinful people. And while we may go to church more Sundays of the month than we miss, we still sin as soon as we exit those church doors. And so we too are in need of repentance. There are those times when we act like the prodigal son and we sin and rebel against God our Father. And so yes, we too are in need of compassion. We need a father who will run to us and make a fool out of himself and put on our fingers the family ring and offer us the forgiveness that we so much really need. And there are times when, yes, we are like those tenants. And we get stubborn. And we continually rebel against God. And like them, we need chance after chance after chance to straighten up and fly right. You see, we need God, our Heavenly Father, to act like a fool for us in different parts, in different stages in our lives. And that's exactly what God did. In sending his son, Jesus Christ, God was ridiculously hoping and praying that we would run to Jesus for forgiveness. God wasn't acting with normal human reason when he decided to sacrifice his son on the cross for us. God wasn't acting with human brains. He wasn't being reasonable. He wasn't being rational when he created the world, knowing that we were going to sin, knowing that we were going to rebel, knowing that Christ was going to have to die and suffer for us on the cross. But God wasn't acting like a fool out of us. He was acting out of love so that we could have a life with him forever in heaven. And so, yes, my friends, there are times when the Bible does paint a pretty silly picture of God, our Heavenly Father. But the reason for God being portrayed as being silly, foolish, ridiculous, or whatever, is because he loves each and every one of us. And he wants to give us every single chance we can get to repent so that we can live with him forever in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all of our human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen.